We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support. Thanking God that we were free. Thanking God that we were free.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Joseph, and we've got a wonderful show for you today. This half hour, we're going to be talking with Detroit's Carolyn Normandine. She's the director of the local chapter of the Anti-Defamation League. We're going to be talking about, I guess, what else does the ADL really talk about is anti-Semitism and new studies that have come out. The portion of the week, which we will be discussing in the second half hour of the show, is the portion of Shmini, which is in chapter 8 and following in the book of Leviticus. We've got a cappella music for the next 6 weeks, and sometime during the next 6 weeks, we'll talk about why we have a cappella music. A great story all the way at the end. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. An Israeli-owned cargo ship was struck by a missile in the Arabian Sea in a suspected Iranian attack. The ship, which was flying a Liberian flag, was sailing from Tanzania to India and continued its voyage after the attack. In anti-Semitic acts this week, Romanian police arrested a man for sending death threats to the director of the Jewish State Theater in Bucharest and her children over the Passover holiday. Police in Norrköping, Sweden, are investigating after someone left a hate-filled message and a group of red paint-splattered dolls hanging outside a synagogue on the first day of Passover. An abandoned synagogue in Istanbul caught fire in what police say may have been arson. Yemen's 3,000-year-old Jewish community is now only four elderly men after the last few remaining Jewish families were expelled this week by the Iran-backed Houthi rebels. The refugees will most likely be moving to the United Arab Emirates as the group does not want to move to Israel. And final last news, Israel gymnast Linoy Ashram won 2 gold medals and a bronze in the Rhythmic Gymnastics World Cup in Sofia, Bulgaria. Next up is the Olympic Games in Japan this summer. We will now hear the Passover greetings from President Biden and from, believe it or not, just because I like the way he did it, London Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And that will be the news.
We wish you all a joyous Passover season.
As Jewish families across the country and around the world mark this important tradition, we know you're all sitting at the Seder table with heavy hearts, but also with hope for the year ahead. As we continue working to defeat this pandemic, we continue to confront discrimination and prejudice. As we seek to rebuild from a time of struggle and loss, we need inspiration of the Passover now more than ever.
Because at its heart, Passover is a story of overcoming adversity and finding hope, of summoning the resilience and resolve to emerge from a long, dark night to a brighter morning.
Chag Sameach to everyone celebrating Passover this week. Sadly, for the second year in a row, this most sociable of festivals is taking place at a time when families and friends and neighbours are unable to come together as they usually would. But our fantastic Jewish community is known for its strength and for its resilience. And I know you're not going to let coronavirus stop you marking Pesach as your ancestors have done, often in the most difficult of circumstances for many thousands of years. From Monday, you'll be able to meet up outdoors with up to 6 people or 2 households for a small but perfectly formed matzah ramble. And many of you, once again, will see time-honoured rituals given a 21st century makeover with the return of online Seder. even second time around, it's not quite what everyone is used to, but the Herozit will be just as sweet, and the Matzah just as meaningful. And you get something generations of Jews have dreamed of for millennia, the ability to mute the table's inevitable kvetch. So things will be a bit different this year, but you can still celebrate this week. Just make sure you stay safe and keep following the rules. Have a great Passover.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Okay, let's go to a song. We've got some time. Up first, this is, again, we're doing a cappella music. The song is Vizekeni with Benny Friedman and Baruch Levine. We played it a couple weeks ago, but this is the a cappella version.
As I stand in candlelight with my hands upon my eyes, there's a passion in my prayers that rends the skies. For a mother's tears can shatter every gate that bars the way. All the heavens will echo those words that mothers say.
Vizekeni, take my children by the hand, help them walk along your way, may they never go astray, may they know you as I know you. Oh Hashem, accept my plea, give me children.
Vizekeni, take my children by the hand, help them walk along your way, may they never go astray, may they know you as I know you. Oh Hashem, accept my plea, give me children.
I stand in candlelight while my home is dark and still. There's a void inside my heart I long to fill. Will I ever be a mother? Will that blessing come my way? Will I stand by the candles with gratitude and praise?
Vizekeni, Vizekeni, take my children by the hand, help them walk along your way, may they never go astray.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on live with Carolyn Normandine, who's the director of the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League. And we're talking about some interesting studies, one particular study that has been recently released by the ADL, and which is a little bit of an eyebrow raiser, is the amount of Jews who recognize that there's anti-Semitism in this country. How are you today, Carolyn?
Well, I'm okay. Thank you so much for inviting me to on your program today.
It's happy to be here. Okay, so tell us about this study.
So ADL releases studies all throughout the year. In the early part of the year, we release a lot of the studies because we do some of this work looking at January 1st through December 31st. So this most recent study is a survey on the Jewish American experience on anti-Semitism. And I think probably the biggest concerning statistic is 40% of Jewish Americans have heard anti-Semitic comments, slurs, or threats directed to them or to somebody else in the last 12 months, 40%. That's a very large number.
I'm actually surprised that it's so, well, actually, now I'm thinking about it, since most of us were like locked in our houses for a year, I suppose that is pretty high. But under a normal year, I guess, how would that compare to say like 2019, 2018?
Well, we've seen it go over, we've seen it rise over time. We have seen all this hateful rhetoric rising over time, whether it's the increase in extremism or it's the increase in online hate. So I would say this is about the same, a little higher in certain areas. For example, we had some questions that looked over a period of time. For example, 9% of Jewish Americans have indicated in this survey that they have been physically attacked in the last 5 years because they are Jewish. 9% mm-hmm. of Jewish Americans. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, when you look at the things like 31% have said that they have been called offensive names online. People report these kinds of incidents to our office at ADL, and we investigate them, and it's true. In online gaming kinds of things, there are Jewish slurs all the time. People adopt anti-Jewish handles for their gaming names and things like that. But the idea that 1 in every 3 Jewish people say that they've been called offensive names online, that's a pretty difficult number to swallow. From my perspective, we should not be seeing that in 2021. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the last, let's take, for example, the last 5 years. They're bookended by anti-Semitism in Charlottesville in 2017. And then, the hateful symbols of anti-Semitism during the breach of the Capitol on January 6th. So this has been a period of time where all types of hate have been ramping up. And we need to pull it back. We need to make sure that people stand up to it and make sure that we don't allow it in our communities and we don't allow it online.
Okay. So let me just tell you a little story first, Carolyn Normandin from the ADL. In 1984, my wife and I and then one daughter moved to Australia. And we were in Australia for 4 years on a fellowship. Every single day that we were in Australia, whenever I walked out into the street, and I lived right across the street from where I worked, so I didn't have far to go. I just jaywalked right across the street, didn't go to the traffic light, nothing. Every single day, somebody would yell some kind of epithet from a moving car. And it was like, that was like normal. Whereas coming from America, I had never heard such a thing. I was never called a dirty Jew from a passing car in America. And then, so we're getting all this, let's jump now. So this was like in Australia, it was obvious. I mean, Jews were a minority. If you're talking about a population of 25 million and there was 100,000 Jews in the whole country. But so now the United States, so was it always like there and now it's just raising its hoary head? And this was a subject of a movie done in the 50s called A Gentleman's Agreement, where it was like, yeah, we kind of do the anti-Semitic thing, but we're going to be too genteel to talk about it.
Well, I think there is something to be said about like the outward discussions, and you and I could have a long philosophical discussion about where hate generates and how do you get to the root cause of hate and how do you really get at, you know, making sure that people don't hate. We've seen a lot of things in our country in the last year. We've seen the murder of George Floyd, and it's in the news right now. We've seen anti-Asian rhetoric spike enormously during the COVID-19 pandemic. So has anti-Semitism been around all this time and a lid been on it? Yes. Anti-Semitism is called the oldest hate in the world. It's been going on for centuries. So the answer to your question is yes, I think it has been under an undercurrent of anti-Semitism. And I hate the thought of what happened to you in Australia. That's something that was probably really, really hard to live with. Maybe you got a little numb to it. I hope that's not the case, because getting numb to this kind of thing is what people want, and we cannot get numb to it. But, you know, I will say that we have seen in the last several years sort of the sewer lids come off, and people have been emboldened. People often ask me, is this as a result of, you know, the President Trump and his administration? And I say, no, it's not one person or one group. It's certainly not one party, not directly. But it is clear that people who have not stood up to hate in the last 5 years have played a role in emboldening extremism in our society. So I can't say what's going on in Australia or what you talked about, but I can tell you that in this country, statistics have shown a very dramatic rise in outward anti-Semitism. Outward, and by the way, that's outward hate in all areas too. Some of you may have seen the horrible, horrible kicking of a 65-year-old Asian woman in New York City this week. It makes you sick to your stomach. I think that emboldened idea that I can do or I can say or I can act out in any way I want is something new to Americans. And certainly not in the last several years. Had, you know, 10 years ago, we were not seeing this.
Okay, so let's just go backpedal that a little bit. What about 5 years ago, when it was a different administration than the one that was just previously left?
Rabbi, let's go back maybe a little bit further than that. Do you see this rise in hate coming when President Obama first took office? And some of it we know from research that's linked directly to the idea of a Black man being president of the United States. So we saw groups starting to form and starting to strengthen back then. I would say if you look at, you know, anti-Semitism in general, we were going down for several years. And frankly, a lot of it, people turned their hatred towards Islam, you know, sort of the Islamophobia side of things. So you saw around 9/11, this rise of Islamophobia and the lowering of anti-Semitism, and the lowering of, like, for example, all the militia stuff that we see in the country right now, that had, you know, peaked in 95, 99, 2000. And we saw kind of a lowering of it during the Bush administration. Well, now people have turned their fears and their anxieties. And I can tell you that it's been on steroids since the COVID-19 pandemic. I think a lot of times people who are fearful, they're looking for somebody to blame. And when you look for people to blame, you look at the easiest targets. And so targets of minorities are very easy targets. And Jews are the easiest target of all because we fall into the category of those old anti-Semitic tropes. The dual loyalty trope, the power trope, the bringing disease trope. So some of these are centuries old. We have to fight it with every breath. We have to stand up to it every single time.
Okay, it is interesting. You did remind me that during the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages, it was the Jews who were blamed for the plague. And we know it was the rats and the fact that people didn't take baths and whatnot now, but they didn't know about germs back then. So like you say, anti-Semitism is not, no, we've been living it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jews have been blamed for centuries. And it, the tropes, some of the same language was used in the Middle Ages as was printed in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion around the turn of last century, and which is, you know, came up during, you know, the Holocaust in the middle of the 1940s and is now being promulgated on white supremacy websites. So some of the language is the same. The characterization is a little bit different because, especially in the last year, while a lot of people have been staying close to home because of the pandemic, people are emboldened and the internet provides a very, very ripe environment. People can go down a rabbit hole very quickly, just looking for like-minded people. That's one reason. And they're staying at home and they're fearful. You know, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel from in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic and people being able to get immunized and things like that. But when people are fearful, they look for scapegoats, and Jews are very, very easy scapegoats.
Our guest today is Carolyn Normandine from the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League. We're talking about anti-Semitism or the prevalence or the apparency of the people just suddenly noticing that it's there. Let's look at the other hand, though. I go call the sites for news, and I see that, for example, many of the institutes of higher learning and many governments are adopting the international definition of anti-Semitism and coming out and speaking out against it. And these are not necessarily left-wing groups, right-wing groups. These are groups, and it seems that the BDS, the Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions movement is sort of like every time it tries to like push itself up, it gets kind of like squashed down again, and people are going boo BDS. So we have that happening too, Carolyn.
Yeah, I mean, there are some positive things. I think the idea that we could gather around a definition of anti-Semitism is really important. ADL supports that definition. I think it's really important to name what you're trying to fight. So I think that's a positive thing. Another positive thing is ADL announced one of the partnerships that we announced is a new partnership with SCN, which is a security community security network. And we announced, we've always worked with SCN, but we announced a more formalized partnership in late February. and this is to monitor extremists and other threats to the Jewish community. So the physical threats and making sure we shore up our physical tactics. But we also, I agree with you, there are people that are standing with us, the partnerships, the coalitions. We remain, ADL remains sort of the 911 for the Jewish community in terms of incidents that are reported. And I'll tell you, it's not only for Jewish community members. We've had incidents reported of racism. We've had a lot of incidents reported against the Asian community during the COVID pandemic. So I think it's really, really important. ADL is a leading provider in the United States of anti-bias education and other efforts to prevent anti-Semitism before it happens. One of the things that we have is a new curriculum designed especially for non-Jewish students, non-Jewish high school students. It's called Bina. And it's a series of 15-minute sort of online lessons that you can do it at your own pace, in your own computer. And it shows the different types of Jewish people, where they come from, that they're not all one group, that they're not this homogenous group, that they come from a variety of backgrounds. And it's specifically designed, as I said, for non-Jewish audiences. So I think there's a lot we can do. And coalition building and getting everyone to talk about the same definition of anti-Semitism is a really smart thing.
Indeed. We're going to follow up this in a second. Soon. Extremist groups seem to also attract extremist Jews. There are Jews who are like way left, and there are Jews who are breaking into the Capitol. So what about the participation of Jews in what I would look at as anti-Semitic acts themselves?
Yeah, I think extremism does not have a party. Extremism does not have a particular ideology. I would say that in our country, one of the biggest forms of extremism is domestic extremist violence. And in this country, that's usually attributed to sort of the right-wing extremists because they're vocal and they're prominent. And they, you know, they are very, very outward with signage and, you know, wearing, you know, putting out swastikas, calling governors, not only our Michigan governor, but other governors, Hitler and so on. And so we see that a lot. The extremism on the left is more insidious. And this is one of the things that keeps me awake at night, because if you are sneaky and more covert about extremism, then you are able to really get a stronghold before anybody really even notices it. And so the kinds of thing that you bring up, sort of the extremism on the left, is also problematic, and we have to fight against it. For example, you know, fighting against certain types of educational endeavors that have anti-Semitic, sort of veiled anti-Semitism in the pages. Such as what they're trying to adopt in California. Excuse me. And we've been really, really vocal on the iterations of that particular effort. And ADL has been very, very strong in terms of advocacy about making sure that we don't let this sort of insidious left-wing anti-Semitism creep in. Extremists on any level are dangerous. And frankly, they're small groups, but they're vocal groups, and they can make it seem like they're bigger than they are.
Indeed. I've always maintained that I'm a radical moderate, but that's a, so anyway, so the you mentioned before that people shouldn't just tolerate anti-Semitism. What can people do? I know if someone's going to say something to me, I'm going to go and punch his lights out, but that's not going to solve any problems.
Well, thank you for asking that question. First of all, I would say I'm not an advocate of punching people, although sometimes it seems like that's the only way you can do something. But we don't advocate violence here. So what we would say is call it out. Always make sure you're in a safe place. And frankly, Rabbi, you know, I get calls all the time from a person saying, my family member is like this and I can't deal with them, or they're like that, or how do I counteract this, you know, speech at my Pesach table. And I always tell them, don't fight with people that you love. You do not want to really, you know, create barriers such that you can't talk to your sister or your brother or your niece or your dad. So I would say, call it out. And you should call it out even with people you love. But if you get to a point where they've got their point of view and you've got your point of view, don't talk about politics. Talk about something you agree on, because I don't believe that we should tear families apart. I think it's easier to find things that we have in common. And I think most Jewish people have, you know, the idea of treating others as you would yourself in common. And so that includes being kind to others, even when they disagree. So I would say right off the top, no fighting. Don't use your fists. If a crime has been committed and you see something that you think is a crime in terms of hate, like somebody hitting somebody over the head, call the police, get law enforcement involved. That's what I would do. That's what I advise people to do. So then the other things are, what can we ensure from an average person? You can become knowledgeable. And by that, I mean, trust reliable sources. When I say reliable sources, I think of ADL as a reliable source because we do research. We are data driven. So usually reliable sources are nonprofit organizations. They're not political. They're apartisan. So make sure that you're not putting forth someone's idea because you heard it from your nephew's cousin's brother. You know, understand what you're dealing with. Don't just throw information that you'd like to believe. Vet the information so that you have the latest statistics. When you read an ADL report, like the Survey on Jewish American Experiences with Anti-Semitism, you know it's been researched, it's been vetted, it's been statistically analyzed. We understand, you know, the percentage of error that, you know, before we put a report out there. So that's another thing. One thing that's really crucial for the average person to do is to not stand for hate and digital platforms and online platforms. And by that, I mean, call out Twitter, call out Facebook, tell if you're on any social media and you see a Holocaust denier or some sort of anti-Semitic rhetoric or anti-Asian rhetoric, contact the provider. You can contact most platforms have a community service line. Mm-hmm. Make a report, and then make a report to ADL, because we hold those digital platforms accountable. We've been doing a lot of testifying before Congress this year. And one of the things we've been telling people is we must have those digital platforms set parameters and then follow them, because we cannot allow the internet to become a fomenting free-for-all of hate. And then the last thing I would say is watch your politicians and see what they stand for. Understand who they stand with and stand for. My mother, she should rest in peace, used to say, show me the friends and I'll show you the person. So if you know that a political figure is hanging with the Proud Boys, you need to think about that before you vote for that person. Mm-hmm. Make sure you understand what ideologies and what platforms the elected officials are in, because this is a very serious growing problem.
Okay, we have time for one more question. We have to wrap this up. This is fascinating. So the ADL puts out these reports, and these reports are shocking. So average Jew reads a report, there's advertised that anti-Semitism is on the rise, and I want to go hide under my bed. What does the ADL want the average person hearing about these reports to do with the information, because we know knowledge is power, et cetera, et cetera. What do you want me to do with the fact that you have witnessed that anti-Semitism is on the rise in this country, Carolyn Normandin?
So thank you for asking that. So just to remind everyone, yes, these are, this latest survey on the Jewish American experiences with anti-Semitism is daunting. You know, when you talk about 31% of Jews say that they've been called offensive names online, or 59% of Jewish Americans polled that say that they feel less safe in the US today than they were a decade ago, it's daunting. Don't be afraid of the facts though. We need to understand the data. We need to call out the data. So be proactive. The steps I mentioned before, calling it out, alerting officials, working with law enforcement when it's important, and actually educating yourself. You could go to ADL.org and read any one of these reports. And it's not, they're not always, you know, focused on Jewish issues. You know, we did a report recently, a couple of weeks ago, we released our report on the rise of white supremacy propaganda. Americans in this country, should know what is happening in this country. So I would say be educated, and then work with your friends, your colleagues. If you invite ADL to speak, we'll come out and we'll bring subject matter experts to speak. I usually make sure that I sum up everything by telling people the actions that they can do, which is, you know, stopping online hate, reporting it, working with schools to make sure there's no anti-Semitism or no hate in their schools, making sure you understand the commitment that your politicians and your local leaders have. Those are the things that you can proactively do.
Okay, wonderful. That's going to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much, Carolyn Normandin from the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League. Somebody sees something, hears something, wants to get in touch with the ADL, what do they do?
ADL.org. They That's can easy. Call, yep. And if you look at our website, you'll find my information. You can always email ADL ADL.org with an incident. You can always contact me, cnormandin@ADL.org.
Okay, wonderful. We wish you continued success. And next time we'll call you, give us a big news about how anti-Semitism has vanished from the face of the earth.
Rabbi, I would like to be able to work myself out of a job here. So let's work on that. ADL's not gonna go away until it's time to go away. So we'll be standing tall with you, but it would be nice for me to work myself out of a job.
Okay, wonderful. Okay. Well, that's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Okay, Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Let's do a song. This is one of those quirky Passover parodies. Anyway, this is 613 a cappella, and this is a pirate's Passover.
There once was a time in Egypt land. The Jews were slaves in the desert sand. We cried out for an outstretched hand. Oh, let my people go.
Soon may our freedom come to bring us liberty, peace, and fun. One day when the Pharaoh's outdone, he'll let my people go.
Brave Moses with his shepherd's rod had heard the mighty voice of God. It said, tell Pharaoh clear and strong to let my people go.
Soon may our freedom come to bring us liberty, peace, and fun. One day when the Pharaoh's outdone, he'll let my people go. Oh, what shall we do with the middle matzah? What shall we do with the middle matzah? What shall we do with the middle matzah? Erlai in the Seder.
Hide it away is the Afikoman. Hide it away is the Afikoman. Hide it away is the Afikoman.
Erlai in the Seder. Oy vey, let's get some prizes. Oy vey, let's get some prizes. Oy vey, let's get some prizes. Later in the Seder. Soon may our freedom come to bring us liberty, peace, and fun.
When the Pharaoh's outdone, he'll let my people go.
Now Pharaoh's heart was not appeased. No Hebrew slave shall ever go free. But Moses said, let's wait and see. The plagues began to grow.
Boy, soon may our freedom come to bring us liberty, peace, and fun. One day when the Pharaoh's outdone, he'll let my people go.
Just lean to the left and we'll tell the tale of how we left Egypt. God split the sea and we walked across with no need for a ship.
But first, before we get to that, there's sons and questions for. Just when you think it's almost done, there's 3 hours more.
There's 3 hours more.
For Pharaoh sent men after us, their lives would soon be lost. And we spill wine drops from our cups, cause freedom had a cost.
Cause freedom had a cost.
So every year we celebrate our freedom with a smile.
With Moses and Ramses too. Asked by the youngest one, we'll sing and have some fun for wonders long ago.
Egyptian firstborn sons were lost. The sea of reeds we firmly crossed. They followed, but was at great cost.
They all were dragged below. Hey, hey lads, the seder is done. We told our tale of redemption. The Shana Habaa B'Yerushalayim.
What's up, Rabbi?
We don't have time for the third song. We're just going to do the monologue.
Okay, I'm going to hit this commercial.
Yeah, hit this commercial, and then you can do two commercials. Let's see, there's the Encompass and then Advanced Rapid Detox. Do them both together.
Okay.
Okay.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herschel Fimin here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Shemini. It's in Leviticus chapter 9 and following. The word Shemini means eight, and it was celebrated. The beginning of the portion, most of the portion, deals with the consecration of the sanctuary in the desert, which happened just, we'd be celebrating basically a month ago, at the beginning of the month of Nisan, which is the month that we're ending now. So the number eight, then why did it happen that the sanctuary was sanctified on the eighth day of consecration, has to do with the fact that the Jews relate to God in a way which is supernatural or supranatural. Seven is the way the world works. Everything works in sevens. You got 7 days of the week all over the place, seven years to a sabbatical, et cetera, et cetera. Eight is one more. And those instances, occurrences where the idea of going beyond the relationship of nature all come up in eight, like Hanukkah and Sukkot and circumcision. And also this idea of the consecration of the sanctuary, which is to create a relationship with God. At the end of the portion, it talks about kosher animals, kosher mammals, kosher fish, kosher birds, and believe it or not, kosher bugs. There are a couple of those too, which I've never eaten, probably will never eat in my lifetime. Why is that? What's that all about? It says because the laws of kosher introduced specifically in this portion, as kosher is not a health code. People who eat kosher are not necessarily healthier individuals. There are advantages to eating, say, a kosher slaughtered mammal because they drain the blood, which has all the carcinogens in it. The meat is salted, which means it's sterilized. The animal is checked over thoroughly to make sure that there's no morbidity to it whatsoever. 60% of animals which are slaughtered for kosher don't get accepted as kosher because the animal's got something wrong. And where does that meat go? It goes into the meat of the general population. So kosher meat, yeah, it's a healthier meat. But then it's got all the salt on it, so you got to soak it off or whatever. If you've got hypertension problems, but it's not a health diet. The reason why we keep kosher is not known to us. We do it simply because the Almighty said, "Trust me on this one." There are lots of mitzvahs I've explained to you. Kosher, I'm not explaining. In other words, the idea of keeping kosher adds to the suprarational relationship we have with the Almighty. And simply what we could say is, you are what you eat. And the eating of a kosher diet, we're going to call it high test fuel, as opposed to the regular unleaded. So a person who doesn't keep kosher, a Jewish person who doesn't keep kosher, will the car go? Yeah, on regular unleaded, it'll go. But it doesn't work to its ultimate optimum efficiency unless you put the high test in. And does it make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But this is the spirituality of it, because this is relating to God beyond the physical, what we can see with our physical eyes. Speaking of physical, we have to physically get done with the show really quick. We're going to take a final commercial break and be back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Sergio Finman here. You're still listening to the Jewish Hour, wrapping things up. Want to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. There you'll find right on the homepage a very easy way to contact me with any way, with any reason, any form, shape, or rationale that you have for contacting me. Rabbifinman.com is the medium to which to do it. And you'll contact me, and I will respond, God willing, in kind. So be kind to me when you contact me. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show. I'm just amazed at this new player that it just keeps on adding more and more and more and more shows. They're all accessible. You could go back years and listen to something. Want to know what was happening in 2017? Go back and listen to my show. You'll get the news there too. It won't be news. It'll be olds because it'll be from 5 years ago. There's also archived editions of various forms in which we present Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. So check out the classes pages if you're a little bit so motivated. And it's a new month. Baruch Hashem, thank God, with Passover and people coming up with donations for around the holiday. March was paid for. Now we're in April. It's time for you to step up to the plate. If you haven't, if you're listening and you've been listening now for 55 minutes to this show and you've gotten to this point already, you like it, if the show costs money. We do have advertisers, but radio is expensive. These things are not cheap. They pay partially for it. Your help has always been an integral part of keeping the Jewish Hour online and up and running for 25 years. We're now in our 26th year. 26 is the numerical value of God's name. So we're in God's name right now. Let's keep it going until we can get further. And after God's name, the numerical value is because we want to keep on going. So go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, check on any number you like to give there. We put up lots of suggestions if you want to do one of those. If you don't, there's always the other one at the bottom of the page. And you can make it a monthly. It's very easy to do. Don't like internet giving? Fine. Submit your contribution of any amount to the Jewish Hour. 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. This upcoming week, next week actually, it's probably more appropriate I tell the story next week, but I like this story, so I'm going to tell it this week, involves the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shmuel, who's known as the Marash. He, from an early age, was in a hurry. He was such in a hurry, he died when he was 49 years old, very young man. He had a five-year-old daughter when he passed away. But he was always in a hurry. So his father, he was the youngest of 10 children. There was a 24-year gap between his oldest brother and himself. 24 years, you imagine, it's like his oldest brother could have been his father. His third from oldest brother could have been his father. He had nephews that were older than him. But anyway, he eventually became the Rebbe. His father, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, realized that his son was in a need to do things quickly and suggested that he visit the city of Bells. There's a song about that. Bells, my shtetl of bells. I won't pain you anymore. Located somewhere in central Poland. And there was the great Rabbi Sar Shalom, who was blind, who was known to be able to pray the morning prayers, which take me about an hour. He could do it in like 5 minutes. And he did it properly. So the father, the Tzemach Tzedek, sent the son, the Marash, to Bells, go learn how to daven quick. So he went, and he just wanted to observe, and he didn't go as the son of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He went as a businessman. He was wearing businessman's clothing. And he kind of pushed his way. Bells was a very large group, and they had a huge synagogue. And he kind of like pushed himself off to the corner. Now, the Sar Shalom, when he would come in, they would make a path for him wherever he would walk, and they would his associates would kind of like direct him where he needed to go. So he walked into the synagogue, and of course, they started making a path, and he immediately gave a smell, and made an immediate left turn, and they told him, "Rebbe, this demveg," and I said, "Nope, I'm going this way." And he walked and he walked. They let him walk and they parted in front of him and he walked right up to the Marash, this young man. Someone said, "Erez Nara Seicher, he's just a businessman." So the rabbi, the Belzer Rebbe, responded, "Aber was for a Seicher? What kind of business is he in?" And he asked him, "Young man, who are you?" And he said that he's the Reb Shmuel, the son of the Tzemach Tzedek. And he said, "Oh, okay." So then he was brought up to the podium and he was given a place of honor. So just by smelling. Anyway, that's going to do it for today.
We're glad you had a chance to tune in, and we hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.
Let's go. Ready for 8 days without a bagel. Tell the story, gather around the table of how we gave the slip to Battle Pharaoh.
It's time for the matzo feast. It's time for the matzo feast. Ain't got no risen yeast. Ain't got no risen yeast. Gonna dip some parsley. Gonna dip it twice to see. 'Cause you know that it's lit to see. And it set my people free.